Okay, Richard Bennett, thank you so much for joining me in this interview. It is the 22nd of October 2013, and we're just going to be looking at asking a number of questions on gospel presentations. In many of your Visio presentations, you mentioned how grieved you were about how the gospel had changed, especially through tracts. And could you just talk us through how you came to these convictions?
Yes, it was many, many years ago when I was a Roman Catholic priest. It was on the years particularly following 1972, where I nearly died after a serious accident, and I began for some years afterwards to search for what was the true biblical message, because had I died in that very serious accident, I wanted to be clear on the gospel message. And more and more, as years went by, in the from 72 coming up to 79, and then coming into the early 80s, I began to see that a person is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, and all on the authority of Scripture alone. I saw that quite clearly, even though I still was unsaved as a Catholic priest. And I began then to listen to the radio for Billy Graham, Hour of Decision. We had it on AM, on in Radio Trinidad, and 610 Radio was called. And I used to listen on Sunday afternoon to Billy Graham's Hour of Decision. And then when I heard his presentations, particularly just to make your decision and to accept Jesus into your heart, and then he would say that he would give assurance that you truly had been saved on his videos. And it was very, very, very difficult. It was like one that he made some years later. But this is typical of Billy Graham, where he said when Adam fell, that was a vote against you. When Christ Jesus died on the cross, that was a vote for you. And then he said, now you cast a deciding vote. And I thought, how horrendous this could be. That is a horrendous message given as the gospel. That is not anything like what the Scripture says. It's by the authority of Scripture alone that we trust on Christ Jesus alone. There's no such thing as making it the final vote. It's all of God. It's God so loved the world. It's not I by my power, I'm going to save myself by trusting on my inviting Jesus into my heart or casting the deciding vote. So this sort of thing pained me a lot, and I then sent to the States and to England and to the Billy Graham Association, and I got back materials, but it was the same teaching in tract form. And then I wrote to others, such as the Campus Crusade for Christ and other ministries such as that, asking for materials and getting it back. And it was always the same thing. It was to make your decision, to picture Jesus standing at the door of your heart knocking, and to invite him in, and then you would be saved, and assurance was given that you would be saved and always saved by the decision that you've made to invite Jesus into your heart. This was extremely difficult. It was even painful, and sometimes I even got physically upset. My stomach would turn, because I knew from Scripture that it was all of God and salvation was in Christ Jesus. The very first search that I made in Scripture, that was way back in 72 itself, I saw, like in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, I saw that it was utterly salvation in Christ. I read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and I saw 42 times in those two chapters the fact that salvation is in Christ. Verse 6, accepted in the beloved, and it goes on, in him in whom we have redemption. And it talks about it talks about salvation being in the person of Christ Jesus. And the well-known Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is God's gift, and salvation is in Christ, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And I had underlined that 42 times in my Catholic Bible, and here is such as Billy Graham saying, in your heart, and then by a decision. And I saw that in Scripture, it's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's not anything that I do or anybody else has done. It's what God does as he sends forth his word. And we trust on Christ Jesus alone, as he has decided. God has loved us and given us the word. And it was utterly painful to see these horrendous statements made by well-known evangelicals. And I discovered later on it was the same with such as Louis Palau, and he was quite well known for tapping on the podium where he was preaching from, saying Christ is knocking at the door of your heart. Invite him in so that you may be saved and made right before God. And I knew that this was not true. It's not my inviting or anyone's inviting of Christ into the heart. It's all of God, all of grace. And so it was back then, and regretfully it's even worse today. There's more ministries that do this man's way. For those of us who are old like myself, it's like the famous last concluding song of Frank Sinatra. Maybe you're not old enough to know of that well-known singer, and he was well-known in Trinidad and, you know, in the States and England and in the English-speaking world. Frank Sinatra's songs all through his career, and then his final song where he said, I did it my way. This was like salvation, I did it my way. Horrendous.
Mm.
It's only salvation God's way.
And do you think there's any common source? Do you think there's anything affecting Billy Graham, Louis Palau, some people like that?
I think it's quite obvious that they were looking for statistics of how many thousands of people made decisions. It was like to build up a ministry and to build up the resources of the ministry, and to become quite well known that many thousands of people had made the decisions and so have been saved. And you get quite well known and sometimes even famous, such as Billy Graham himself, and his son Franklin Graham has taken over a similar type of ministry today. And it's that motivation, and it really is big business, to put it bluntly. And it's quite sad, because it's not the gospel message. And sometimes it's small ministries whereby the true word goes forth, but it's the truth of God based on Scripture alone. And we see lives saved. I know when I was saved in 1985, and I trusted in Christ alone, it was utter change in my life. And I saw that, like, the addiction I had at that time to drink to steady my nerves and to sleep at night, that was gone as I trusted in Christ alone. And there was deep peace in my life, and my life was changed. And I've seen many others in the course of the ministry. Now I now have people, really, lives are changed. And in these churches where you have this false message, they talk about people whose lives have not been changed. They say they're just carnal Christians. They just have made Christ their Savior, and they haven't made him Lord. We do not make Christ Jesus the Savior or Lord. He is Savior and Lord. And all the statements in the scripture, like Paul speaking to the jailkeeper, believe on the Lord Jesus. We believe on him. He's Lord and Savior at one time. And we do not separate, and we do not try to justify that lives have been changed when they haven't been changed. They're still living as carnal Christians. They're still not saved. And we look to the true message. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Know that you're dead in trespasses and sins, and lives are changed to the glory of God.
Do you think there's any similarity between the Billy Graham gospel and Rome's gospel?
There is. It's quite similar, and that is again quite sad, and it's heartbreaking in many ways, because the Catholic Church insists that man has been wounded. And they said in the famous church in the modern world, Vatican II documents, man has been wounded when he comes to think about his real self and looks into the recesses of his heart where God awaits him. There he decides his own destiny in the sight of God. That is practically word for word quotation, because I know I had preached that as a priest. And you decide your own destiny. This is the Catholic Church saying the same thing. It's you decide your own destiny, and you are wounded. The Bible says we're dead in trespass and sins. We're not somehow incapacitated. We are dead in sins. It's all of God. And it's quite similar, we can see from that quotation I gave, and the teaching of Billy Graham. They say that man has sinned, you know, and fallen from God, but still has the ability. They look upon man still capable of making a decision. He still has the capability. Scripture does not allow for that capability. It says we are dead. And like Paul's great gospel, as declared in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. There's none righteous, no, not one. The same apostle Paul said. And so this idea of man being capable, and the Roman Catholic Church saying man is wounded, and when he looks into the deep recesses of his heart where God awaits him, he decides his own destiny in the sight of God, is quite similar. And so that really answers your question.
Mm. How widespread is this kind of belief in human ability in the modern church today?
It is quite well spread, and it's permeated, particularly since 1994, when well-known people like Chuck Colson and Richard John Newhouse produced a document called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And they were saying that Catholics, together with Evangelicals, are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in 1997, they came up with a second document called The Gift of Salvation, Evangelicals and Catholics Together, too, the second document. And it also was even more sinisterly evil because of the shrewdness in which the words were said, like using the word conferred instead of imputed, so that Catholic could sign thinking that the sacraments confer grace. And evangelicals could sign because they purportedly believe that grace is imputed as you believe on. So by using the Catholic word and not the biblical word, that they could define the gospel message. Very cleverly deceitful. And these documents have been quite successful in a humanistic way. Lots of churches that used to be Bible-believing, such as the Conservative Baptist Church and many other, like First Baptists of this city or that city, or community Bible churches and all of these, just went by the wayside and went into this idea of what is called Arminianism, going back to Arminius in the early part of church history, who believed that man's own ability, he could save himself, by doing certain things, looking to Christ, he could save himself. That this was, it has permeated, and it is widespread. And that's why what you are doing, Paul, is so necessary in your ministry, making these things known so that people hear the true gospel message.
How far, going back to the Reformation, how far has even the Reform movement today, or the professing Reform movement, drifted from Luther, Calvin, and the Second Reformation?
That is a very good question, because since the Reformation we had solid Reformed churches and really standing strong in the true gospel message for many, many years. But then in recent times, in the late 20th century, coming into the 21st century in which we now live, we had real deviation from the gospel message, and churches that had been Reformed, notably the Presbyterian Church, PCA, that's Presbyterian Church of America, they had stood for the true gospel, and other forms of Presbyterianism that were known in Scotland, and that were known in Wales, and known in Ireland and other nations, that these forms of Presbyterianism that had given the true gospel for years now got into a theology called the New Perspective. And in the New Perspective, instead of saying that, you know, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ Jesus alone, they added that we are imputed with righteousness by these things as we live. And the final reckoning of us as just and as saved will be if we have lived a faithful life at the moment of our death. Then a person is truly justified. And that is horrendous. That is adding works in after what appears to be a true gospel message. And then as you faithfully live your Christian life at the moment of your death, you're justified. That is just the works gospel at the end of your days. And it is utterly sad. A form of the New Perspective is called Federal Vision. It was really started by Doug Wilson, a well-known pastor and teacher in America, but having a great effect here in Ireland and in England and other English-speaking countries. He brought in the idea, concept, that water and the words, "I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," that there is a direct link between water and grace. He said in a book on the subject, he didn't take it as absolute, but it's the norm. And this has brought in the whole heretical teaching that a person is baptized, it's regenerative, like the Catholic Church says, that it gives new life as you're baptized. And this has had a devastating effect, particularly because Doug Wilson was well known in the homeschool movement in the United States, and people overseas in countries like this would have used his materials as well, in Ireland and other countries, whereby now it gets into the homeschool material when it comes to religion and what faith is. And so you could have excellent teaching on geography and mathematics and all the different subjects, but when it comes to faith, this sort of thing being put in as the way we become Christians is horrendously apostate. And I'm not using that word lightly, it is apostate. It's a falling away from the truth. And this is just an example of how it's permeated churches that used to be Reformed. And particularly those churches that I've mentioned, the Reformed churches whereby what we would more call Reformed Baptist, and then the Presbyterian Reformed churches who have been corrupted with a false message, such as the New Perspective regarding Presbyterianism, and such as Doug Wilson together with Steve Wilkins and Steve Schischel in New York, well-known former Jew who was preaching the true Reformed message of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, and by grace alone. It was It's just horrendous to see these things.
Yeah. Another major influence on the modern church is Rick Warren. And Warren, especially when he's been joining up with John Piper. How serious do you think that is? Because John Piper is really, still really well respected.
I say Piper has been well respected, but when he joined together with Rick Warren, when you see the outlandish things that have been given by Rick Warren to a man-made type of salvation that is dressed to please human beings, it's horrendous to see a man who had true biblical faith before that, and it's blasphemously horrendous, and I think that it has been disgraced, but it shows the the apostate age in which we live and the necessity to get messages out like you are making known, Paul, so that people can be aware that these famous, well-known names have now deviated completely from the gospel.
So the final question I give you is this: would you believe that the vast majority of professing Christianity is severely deceived? And what must men of good faith do?
That is the question I wouldn't answer and say the vast majority. I do not know. I do not know what is the figures would be. I know that there are tremendous amount of true Bible believing churches right across Ireland where we speak, and right across England and the United States where I live myself. I know that there are many, many sound, and I have been really encouraged because in my ministry I'm invited to speak at different churches, and I have been invited to speak at different churches across America and sometimes overseas, and I'm amazed to see how many churches are really standing strong, but you don't hear about them. They're not well known. You don't find anything much about them on the internet. They may have web pages, but are not known. And I have been really heartened. But I'd say that there are a sizable number of evangelical churches that really have been contaminated. And I do not make any guess of what percentage it is, but it's certainly sizable.
Richard Bennett, thank you very much.
And thank you, Paul, and praise God for the great work that you do by God's grace.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.